Blog Talk Radio.
Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends
you won again,
that you have won again. Let your power flow. That you have won again. Anybody need the power in here?
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, prove the doubters wrong. Every time they talk about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Anybody needing to fight some battles in here? This is what I need you to do, Lord.
Fight this battle.
I can't do it. That you have won again.
You won.
You have won.
Thank
you. You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won again.
You brought me out so many times.
You have won
over and over and over again. Never lost a patient.
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it. But oh,
you pulled me through.
You're a winner. Time after time. My husband could do. You're a champion. You're undefeated.
You won.
Somebody say because you did it for me. You brought me out. You made a way.
Yes, he did.
God, you.
You
I give you glory. I bless your name.
Let me give him praise.
Because you won. Because you're faithful.
Everybody know
it's a winner.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thine a glory. Hallelujah.
need you to revive us. I'm going to do it again, Aaron. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. And see you have won. You did it again. Over and over. Time after time. I could see my way out with you. Yeah. He's Jesus. All by himself, y'all. I'm getting excited thinking about your goodness. How you keep on making a way for me again. Thank you, Jake.
Come on, family, give the Courtney Cortez a hand.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and we bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. We would like to thank you for joining us. This is our closing night for the series that we have been ministering on entitled The Widow's Fast, Providing for the Needy. And tonight we have a special guest from Malawi who was currently in Canada and being hosted by Resurrection Life Ministries, Pastor Ray and Leslie Johnson. So we would like to acknowledge you tonight and thank you so much for your love, support, and encouragement and support with this broadcast tonight. We have four speakers tonight, and one speaker is going to be live, and that is Pastor Christopher Mawalima and Stacey Lunsford. And our other two speakers, it will be recordings because they were not able to connect with us live. So I just want to, before I open up the mic for Pastor Christopher, the song that was playing, and it was saying, you have won once again. Wherever you are and whatever you are going through, I want to say to you tonight, don't quit. Don't quit today. Don't quit tonight. Don't quit tomorrow. And the reason I'm saying that is because tonight might be the night that you receive your breakthrough and what you have been waiting for. And then if you don't listen until this broadcast until tomorrow, guess what? Don't quit tomorrow, because tomorrow may be the day that you receive your breakthrough and what you have been waiting for. So why am I saying that? And why do I sound so excited? Well, we're going to learn about the widow woman and her son that was preparing their last meal, and they thought they were going to die. They didn't realize that it was the turning point of their breakthrough when God sent the prophet Elijah from the Brook of Cherith to go to Zarephath. And so in obedience, the widow woman served the prophet of God. She made a sacrifice where the food she was preparing for her son and herself, and she made that meal for prophet Elijah, which was the turning point of their breakthrough. So I wanted to open up this way tonight because we have presented this topic on so many different levels and different ways. But tonight, God wanted me to remind somebody, it may look like it's over, You may feel like you're preparing your last meal because somebody listening, you may have had your last meal today. Your refrigerator, your cupboards may be empty. Or whatever your situation or circumstance, maybe a bill needs to be paid. Tonight, we just want to release an inspirational message of hope and encourage you not to quit and not to give up on God because God will not give up on you. So, Pastor Christopher, how are you? God bless you, and welcome to the mic. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. Today is a blessed Sunday, so I'm very much happy to be online. Thank you so much. With me is Pastor Lay. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity that Lord God want to minister to somebody out there. And thank you so much for the opening remarks that you have just said. You say tonight is going to be somebody's blessing. God wants to do something special for somebody tonight. Amen.
Amen. Yes, he does. So yes. We're going to ask everyone that is following us to go with us to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And Pastor Christopher, I'm going to let you open up. And then when you're ready for me to play Pastor Mark's message, then you let me know.
Okay. First Kings.
Or do you want me to start with his?
Yes, please.
Okay. So for those of you that are listening, we're going to start with Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark Echikuwu from Nigeria, currently in Cameroon. So give me one moment while I prepare for the message that he wanted me to share today and, well, tonight. And his topic is fasting and provision that please the Lord. So thank you so much for your patience as we get that started for you. For us, I'm excited to hear the word of the Lord.
Amen. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, brethren. It depending on where you are listening from. My name is Pastor Ikechukwu Mark from Distinguished Christian Ministries, and I want to thank God for this good opportunity that he has given to me to be a part of this wonderful, you know, program this evening. I also want to thank God for the life of the founder of this great platform, the Eloquent Speaking Radio Network and Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. I'm talking about the person of Apostle Stacy Lunsford. I want to bless God for what God is using her to do, you know, in these last days. I also want to thank God for the great topic that we have in the house tonight, the topic of today, which says the widow fast providing for the needy. I want to bless God because it is a topic, you know, that is going to help us as the Lord is going to speak to us through his spirit tonight. You know, a topic that is going to help us, that as we learn, it is going to help us in our everyday walk with God. You know, every one of us have a purpose here on earth to fulfill. And if we don't follow the right steps which the Spirit of the Lord is leading us to follow, we might not get it right. So before we proceed, I want to just say a short prayer. Father, we bless your name. Thank you for this great opportunity. Thank you, Lord Almighty, for this topic that you have brought before us this evening. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and speak to us and through us. Teach us, Lord, as we learn together. And at the end of it, O God Almighty, Father, we are going to be better. And we are going to, O God Almighty, do greater things through what you're going to teach us this night. Open our eyes to begin to see, Lord, through your word, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So we're talking about the widow first providing for the needy. You know, to me, it's like a two different topic, because it talks about the fasting, and it is also it also talks about providing for the needy. From the text, you know, of this topic, which is from the book of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 7. If you read this scripture from verse 1 to 5, you will understand that the children of Israel fasted, but God was not pleased with the way they did their fasting. You know, because God says on the day they did their fasting, it was just like the normal day, you know. But I want us to understand that before we engage ourselves in fasting or waiting on the Lord, it is a day that we have to sacrifice or consecrate for the Lord. It is not a day that we do the normal things that we used to do, you know, because if you want to ask the question, ask me, what is fasting? It simply means abstaining from food and whatever that gives you pleasure, and to stay with God. And it's something that you have to, you know, consecrate yourself, because if you are not consecrated, you will not hear from the Lord. And God was not pleased with the way they fasted, because it was just like the, you know, normal day. There was nothing different. But if you read from the book of the same book of Isaiah, from verse 6 downwards, you will understand that God has a particular fasting that he chooses for us. You know, it is a particular fasting that he wants us, the way he wants us to fast, if we must get result. And this fasting is based on destroying the works of the devil. I know that we have so many reasons that we fast, you know. We have so many reasons. Some of us fast to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for directions, for victory, for breakthroughs, and so on and so forth. But I want us to understand that God was specific in this particular, you know, verse 6 of this very scripture. You know, and he say, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? So you can see that God's focus on this fasting is totally against the works of darkness, to destroy the works of darkness. You know, not probably in our own lives, because if you look at here, it is pointing, you know, out to the masses, to humanity, you know, not for ourselves. And I want us to understand categorically here that if God have anointed you, that anointing is not for you. Yeah, the anointing is not for you. God anointed you. God chooses you to go and deliver others. So the anointing and that grace is not for you. You are only, you know, a caretaker. The only thing that he does is that he will empower you so that you will be able to do what he has called you to do. So that you will be able to destroy the works of darkness, the works of the devil, those who are bound, those who are held in captivity, those who are poor, those who are homeless. You know, that is what the anointing that God has given to you is for. And it is through fasting. This is the kind of fasting that God required of us, you know, to pray. Our fasting and prayer, I know that sometimes we are to fast for ourselves to be empowered and so many other things, but if we can engage in fasting mostly at times to destroy the works of darkness in the lives of others, God will also do the same to us, because when you are praying for other people, God, what you are asking God to do for other the other people, God will also make the same thing to happen to you. So it is not something that we need to be or ought to be selfish. No. When you are praying for someone, it is a part of giving. It is a part of reaching out, because as a matter of fact, the greatest gift you can give to anyone is the prayer. Because we don't have any power. Yes, we can reach out, but God is the only one that can turn around anyone's situation. So the best reach out you can do is to pray for someone, for God to deliver that person, for God to liberate that person, for God to heal that person, for God to bless that person. So what are we talking about this night? When you do that, you know, when your focus is on humanity, when your focus is on, you know, reaching out to others, God will also make things to happen to you. It will cause your own heaven to be open. And if you read verse 7, which is the main scripture for the test scripture for this particular topic, and he say, is it not to give thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. So you see that this particular place talks about is a fasting to reach out, you know, fasting to bring the captives, pray for them, give the food to the hungry, clothe the naked, the homeless, you bring them. These are the people that we see on daily basis. They are in our families, they are in our communities. We come across them on the street every day by day. Now the question is, what are we doing to help these people? What are we doing to contribute to their well-being? What are we doing to help humanity? Jesus Christ said something. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. And I was, you know, I was sick and you came to the hospital to visit me. I was naked and you clothed me. And so on and so forth. And they're asking, Master, when did we do this? As long as you did it for any of these little ones, you did it for me. I want us to understand that Bible says we should not be worrying in well-doing. You know, when we are helping out someone, when we are reaching out to people in whichever way, we should, you know, just forget about this idea of expecting, you know, the expecting another result from that same person. No. We shouldn't feel that we are doing it for that person. As a matter of fact, as a child of God or children of God, whatever we do it unto the Lord. It is not unto any man. We do it unto the Lord. And that is why it is very, very important that we understand the mind of God concerning our lives, concerning his purpose for our lives. We must understand his mind and his will. You know, because that is the only way that we can understand those things. God did not save us to remain. God saved us, God delivered us so that we can reach out to others. I know that when we're talking about reaching out to others, you know, a lot of us, you know, the first thing that comes to our mind is money. It is part of it. But there are so many ways you can reach out to others. I can reach out to others. It is not until you have the whole world or the whole money. No. What happens if you don't have the money to give? Your prayer alone, you know, is enough. It will go a long way, because that is the greatest gift you can give to anybody. That's the greatest reach out. And secondly, your words of encouragement to someone. You know, there's so many people who feel that they have written off themselves completely. When you come across such people, you make them to understand that they are still, you know, important. That God has not forsaken them. That God has not forgotten them. It doesn't matter what they are going through. You know, it doesn't matter what is happening around them. You encourage such people. Let them understand that their life counts, that they are still important, that they are as important as other people. You know, sometimes situations can make some people begin to think that they are nobody. But if you can pray, if you cannot reach out to these people, you know, with a physical thing, the spiritual aspect of faith is the best gift you can give to them. Because when you pray, God is the only one that have, you know, the ability to change the situation. And when God changes the situation, it is going to be to his own glory, and your own name also will also be written in the book of life. You know, so these are the things that God required of us to do if our prayers must be answered. Because if you read down from verse 8, down will say, when you have finished done this, from verse 6 and 7, verse 8 says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy head shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So if you read down, you discover other things. Amen. And that brought me to the second scripture, which is the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. It's chapter 17. Am I correct? First chapter 17, verse 16. Amen. 17:16. The Bible says, if you read this particular place, you know, you will understand that this story is about Elijah. You know, and Elijah was, how would I put it now? He was a prophet, you know, of God. Elijah was a prophet of God. And at each and every point in time, God was, because of the famine that was in the land at that time, God was always, you know, directing him on where to go so that he will not suffer what other people are suffering. The hunger, the famine that was in the land, you know, was so much that God was always directing him, giving him direction on where to go so that he will not, you know, suffer. So if you read from from verse 2, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn the eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is beyond Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens, you know, to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand, that she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Hallelujah. You can understand from this story that this woman, the meal that she had was not even up to a loaf. You know, it was not up to a loaf. It was so little. She said it was a handful. That means it was a very, very little that will not even be enough for she and her son. But because she obeyed the voice of the Lord through his servant, you know, I want us to understand in this. I want us to learn something from this. You see, I said earlier that it is not until we have the whole money. The little you give to someone when that person is in need, you know, it's much more than the millions you give to the person when he doesn't need it. And I also want us to understand that whatever God has given to us, every resource that God has given to us, we are just caretakers. He gave it to us. He entrusted it to us for humanity. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Amplified Version said, you know, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And in bracket, he said, using the vast resource of the earth in the service of God first and man. So you can understand that when you come across any this word vast, it means that it is inexhaustible. You know, it is something that cannot be exhausted. And God says, we should use it. If he has entrusted into your hands, you are just like a caretaker. You know, to use it in his own service and to serve humanity, to reach out the unreached, to clothe the poor if you have the means, you know, to shelter the homeless if you have the means, to feed the hungry if you have the means, and so on and so forth. You know, there's so many things that we are neglecting as the children of God. There's so many things we are neglecting. Let me tell us something. Most times we pray. It is good to pray. But there are some little things that we neglect that can attract our blessings. The little things we are neglecting that can attract, that is, they are the main thing that can, you know, trigger our blessings. If you look at the first scripture, God told us the kind of the fast that he, you know, that pleases him. It is the fasting that you reach out to the unreached. You reach out to those who are in difficulties. You reach out to those who are poor. You reach out to those who are in pain. You pray for them in your closet. You call them close to you, you know, and you encourage them. You encourage them. Sometimes the only word of encouragement that you can call someone to encourage him or her can bring the person back. It can bring the person back. There's so many people who are going through pain. Some people have, you know, committed suicide because they were depressed and nobody was there to, you know, talk to them. Do you know what? A little word or a word of 2-3 minutes can do in the life of someone who has already lost hope. Do you know what it can do? Have you ever come across someone? I have come across someone who was condemning herself. Everything she said, you know, she was saying about herself was all based on condemnation because of the kind of life she said she has lived in the time past. You know, how she has done so much, you know, committed a lot of sin, did abortion and stuff and so that. I told her, no. You are the one condemning yourself. God has not condemned you. If you can thank God that you have realized what you did, if you can come back to God with a heart of repentance, God will forgive you. And God will accept you back. Do not allow the devil to lie to you. Do not allow the devil to use what your past, you know, to determine your present. Now, I want to make you to look as if God is a wicked God. God is not wicked. And God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. He still loves you. And I was busy talking to her every day by day. You know, anytime we come across, I will speak to her. And I thank God, before you know it, you know, she began to have this sense of belonging again. And she became happy. So tell me, if I have not been able by the grace of God to come across such person and God gave me the wisdom to talk to this person, you know, tell me what would have been her end. And this is how so many people have been, some, you know, because of the kind of things they have gone through or what is happening to them, some commit suicide. So we have a lot to do as God's children. And we must, you know, develop the heart of love. We must develop, you know, the heart of love to humanity. It doesn't apply only to the Christians. It could be a Muslim. It could be an atheist who doesn't even believe. It can be a pagan. You know, our heart must be for, go out for these ones, especially those who does not know God. These are the people who need this, you know, help. Because let me tell you something. If you are only helping the believers, which is not bad though, you know, how do you expect the unbelievers around you to feel? How do you expect them to see you? But when your hand, I know, is stretching out to everyone around you, I tell you, you will bring more souls to the kingdom. A lot of people, I think I have come across someone, you know, that says that what really made him to become a Christian was because of the love that the brethren are showing to him. He was not a Christian then. You know, so there's so many ways we can reach out to people. There's so many ways we can provide for people trusting in the Lord. But I want us to start with the little we have. It is not until we have it all. No. The little that we have and that we give at that very point in time have a long way to go. God sees our heart and God knows those who that when he entrusts the word that they will not withhold it. So I want us to make it a point of duty as the children of God to always remember those who are in need. Always remember those who don't have, especially in our communities, in our families. You know, there's a saying that says charity begins at home. So you must start from somewhere. It could be from your street. It could be with one person. It could be with two persons. And as the Lord, as you are doing it, when God sees your heart, God can give you the resources that you can help up to 10, 20, 50, 100, and so on and so forth. But they have to start from somewhere. We should, you know, take away the heart of selfishness. We should die to serve. We should keep personal interest. We should kill this self-centeredness. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of ourselves. No. You know, look at this woman that have just a little food for her and her son to eat and to die. As a matter of fact, they don't have any hope of living after that meal. But the man of God came and told her, fear not. You know, I don't know how many of us in this day can do that. But she believed. And she, first of all, I remember I told you that the Amplified version of that Genesis chapter 1, 28 says, use the vast resources of the earth in the service of God. That is the first before man. And this Elijah was a man of God who came to this woman to, you know, to ask her to make cake for her first. Then after that, she, you know, prepared the rest for she and her son. And the woman obeyed. And that obedience turned around her situation. Someone who wanted to eat and die, that meal, you know, became that, that single gift that she gifted to the man of God became the stepping stone to her breakthrough. I speak to someone who is listening this day that as you follow this suit, you get the same result. We should learn to lose ourselves so that the blessings of God will come in. We should learn to lose ourselves so that God will have his way. And Elijah told him in verse 17, you know, Elijah told him, sorry, please let me get the scripture, in verse 17 of the same place that we read, the book of, the same book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 16. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, and in verse 16, in verse 16, the Bible says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he speak by Elijah. Amen. And verse 15 says what? And she went in and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her household did eat many days. In other words, that gift that he gives, that little, you know, food that he prepared for the man of God, God was multiplying it, that they were eating, not just little, now they were eating to the satisfaction. It is a very big lesson for us to learn, you know, as God's children. God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory, even by Christ Jesus, when we are walking, you know, in obedience with his word. We must cultivate the habit of being in agreement with the word of God, and also be sensitive to discern when the true prophet of God is speaking to us. It is crucial, especially in this aspect, because there are so many things that is happening in the body of Christ. There are so many wolves in sheep clothing who are using this same means to exploit people. I'm not talking about these ones. You know, and that is why it is very, very important for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto the Lord, for a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. May God bless us all as we adhere to his word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for having me, and God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, sunshine.
Oh my goodness.
So she wants you to speak.
Myself?
Hello. Go ahead.
What?
Nathan just being very courteous to you.
It's not bad. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Ichukwu from Nigeria for the wonderful, teaching of widows first. In your opening, you've opened the book of Isaiah. I say this is the book, this is the kind of the fasting that God has told, has asked us as believers to fast. In my preaching yesterday, I did emphasize so much, and that's what I want also to continue. I emphasized much on saying God identifies himself with the needy. And today I want to start from there to say the heartbeat of God is with the needy, the heartbeat of God. You know, in the very scripture that our brother from Nigeria has given us, Isaiah 58 from verse 6, to verse 8, Isaiah 58, from verse 6 to 8, the Bible says, "Is it not this kind of the fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wonder with a shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will shine forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." So you can see God identifies these people. We don't know what kind of fasting they were praying. Maybe they were praying they were oppressed since they were maybe in captivity, maybe they were in any situation. But from the look of things, they were praying differently from the desire of God. This is what we see here. Their focus was not the focus of God. What their heart had when they were fasting is not, so God says, is this not the kind of fasting? So the kind of fasting says, is it not to dress the naked? Is not it to give the food to the poor? So God identifies himself with the needy. For us to understand better this point that I'm saying, God always identifies himself with the needy. He is always with the needy. And in this case, I want to add another fact that the treasure of God is the needy. That is the treasure of God. He identifies himself with the needy. And David understood the heart of God. In his Psalms, he has written, I've just said a few scriptures, but he has written so many texts fact that I'm saying God identifies himself with the poor. When you read Psalms 34, verse 6, it says, "The poor man called, and the Lord held him. He saved him out of all troubles." He says, "The poor man called." God listened to the poor man. And in chapter 35, verse 10, the Bible says, "The whole being will exclaim, who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from these too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who love them." You know,
God says he'll excuse the poor and the needy from those who love them. The heart of God is with the poor. He identifies. He comes down and identifies himself. He sits on the throne, judging, voicing for the voiceless, for the needy, for the widow. And again, when you go to Psalms 82, verse 2, it says, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. That's the heart of God. Always the heart of God is with the poor. Always the heart of God is with the needy. That is the treasure of God. And when you go to Psalms 113, verse 7, the Bible says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heaps. And that is where the heart of God is. He's always with the needy. He's always with the poor. Now, if the heart of God is with the needy, the heart of God is with the poor, the heart of God is, if he identifies himself with those who are naked, with those who have no shelter, with those who have no food, with those who are oppressed, if he identifies himself with these people. So likewise, this is the reason he has called us to identify ourselves with the needy, with the oppressed, with the poor, with the widows. Our hearts must be with them. Jesus, when Jesus was speaking to the people, he says, where the treasure is, that is where your heart is. Now we see that the heart of God is with the poor. So the treasure of God is the poor, the people who are in need, the orphans, the people who are sleeping in the streets, the people who have no shelter, the people who cannot feed themselves. God identifies, that's the treasure of God. So these two must be our treasure. Our heart must also be there. Where the heart of God is, that is where our heart must be. This is the reason God has called us to identify ourselves with the needy. So my emphasis this morning, Pastor Stetson, this evening, Pastor Stetson, is to say, may we identify ourselves in the same way God identifies himself. God identifies himself with the needy. We are also supposed to identify ourselves with the needy. Our heart must be with the needy, because that is where the heart of God is right now. That is where the heart of God is right now. And you know, it says, yesterday I was talking about this kind of sacrifice, you know, and I was talking about love. I mentioned two things. He said, when you read this, the very same scripture, Isaiah 54, verse 6, when you come to the last line, he says, then your light will break. If we do this, if I do this, if you do this, if everybody who is listening to us do this, then he says, then your light will break forth. In other words, he says, the light, the understanding, the kingdom of God. In other words, he says, the blessings of God, when we do this, then the blessings of God will follow. I was saying yesterday, we do not receive the blessings of God like manna, just like sitting. We have to do something. We have to identify ourselves where God is. Now, if God is with the poor, I must go where the poor are, so that the light of God must break forth for me. The light of God must break forth like the dawn, and my hearing will quickly appear, and the lusciousness will go before me, and the glory of the Lord will be my rear guard. This the Bible says, then these things shall happen upon me. So it is like when we have done something, we have done what God is expecting us to do. When we have identified ourselves with the poor, when our treasure are the poor, when we give what we have to the needy, when we give what we have to the poor, because God is going to bless the poor through us. Through us. God is going to touch their lives, to change their lives through us. And they say, when we have done that, in the same manner, God is going to do something to us, what we are expecting. You know, under the sun, everybody has got a need. Everybody has got a need, but the level of the need is always, it differs. The level of a need, what I need is different from the need of somebody who is in straight. What I need, what you need is different from somebody who is in straight. But God says, if you go in the street, if you help the poor, if you help the needy, if you identify with yourself with them, then God is going to turn his eyes on you and he will look what is your need. Then he will supply your need. So this, our family, whereby everybody is going to celebrate what we call Christmas, and we will have a very kind of a good meal in our homes. While a street person right there, maybe a widow, a needy person right there, has nothing, has not even anything to eat on that particular day, may we be the instrument to feed them during that time. May we clothe them during that time. May we give them a good food during that time. For God is going to touch them through us. And when we go to Zechariah chapter 7, verse Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8 and 10. It says, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not put evil against each other. You know, this also is emphasizing the point where the heart of God is. He's always mentioning the widow. He's always mentioning of the needy. He's speaking to the chosen people. He was not speaking to anybody. These words that came to Zechariah, they came to Zechariah so that Zechariah should deliver these words to the chosen people. We are the chosen people right now. These words are coming to us to say, we have to see these widows. We have to look at these oppressed people. We have to feed them. And yesterday I was saying, this is the kind of love. Because when I give the food to a street person, I'm not expecting that street person to bless me, but I'm expecting God to bless me. So in our giving, in your helping the needy, we do not to give us something, but we are expecting God to bless us according to our needs. So giving is the expression of love and the love of God. If God loves the poor, and we also have to love the poor. So when we love the poor, that means we love God. That is what the Bible says. When we love the poor, that means we love God. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, a religion that God our Father accepts are pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He says, this is the true religion, or the two other versions says the true worship, that God is that is acceptable before God, and that is pure and faultless, is to look after the needy, the orphans, and the widow. This is the true religion. And when we say we are religious, so to say, maybe when we say we are religious, we are the servants of God, we are the people chosen by God himself, we have to see God is always pointing us to the orphans. To orphans, an orphan is a needy person. A widow is a needy person. So he's pointing us to these needy people. May we rise up and identify other people that God, we should touch their lives. We should change them. It can be maybe you can identify somebody in the street that you see his life. He maybe is a child. You see, because he's in the street because he has got nobody to keep him at home so that he can be at school or she can be at school. You can identify somebody and bring in your house, begin to live with him or with her, and bring hope in his or her life. Put him at school. Let God do the rest. All that you have to do, bring him in your house, take him to school or to school, then God will do the rest. If you do that kind of thing, then God says this is the kind of worship, this is the kind of religion that is acceptable and pure before God. I pray to God as we are listening from different places, different nations. As we are listening to this program, God has not called us to enjoy ourselves in this kingdom, but the Bible says in the same way, when you read 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, this is how we know that we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. You know, John is emphasizing this. He says, this is the love that we have to demonstrate under the sun. In the same manner that Jesus laid his life for us, we have to lay down our lives for our brothers, for the in this case, for the needy person, for the widow, for those who cannot speak for themselves, those who cannot defend themselves. In the same way that Jesus Christ laid his life, we have also to lay down our life. So the love of God is not a self-centered love. It's not the love of self, but it is the love that sees in the life of somebody, what is this person, is in need, and who can bless him? Surely nobody is going to bless him apart from you, apart from me. Then let us remember that for us to be the children of God, Jesus laid down his life, and Jesus is asking us at this hour to lay down our lives for the needy out there, for a widow out there, for an orphan out there, in the name of Jesus.
Pastor Christopher.